today for 4 weeks called Living a Life of Risk. Ah, wonderful. So can I just ask, who's been on holiday so far this year? And can I ask who was on a holiday out with the UK? You put your hand right up. Out with the UK. Out with the UK. So not in the UK. Is that unclear? Hi, out with the UK. So who went on an abroad holiday? Good grief. How did you get there? Everybody else floated. So by plane. Did anybody go abroad and didn't go by plane? Good. So you'll understand the importance of flight. And but do we take that for granted? Do you know that 112 years ago you wouldn't have taken that for granted? Did you look at that contraption there? Do you fancy going to Spain in that? Or even further? I don't fancy going up the road in something like that. But the Wright brothers changed everything. They made a huge difference. And the next screen will show you who they are. Orville and Wilbur Wright. And because of them, we can now get to Spain in roughly, 3 hours? We can get to the States between 5 and 10 hours, depending where you go. And we can even fly to far-flung regions like Australia. All because of these guys. And in 1903, they invented what was then called a flying machine. And there was so much excitement. It was classed, as you can see up there, a successful flying machine. They were summoned to the White House because the government considered buying their invention. It was a big thing. It was massive. Have you ever seen the film Those Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines? This revolutionized things. People didn't need to just travel in a hot air balloon. And if you've ever seen films like that and the wee clips on programs on TV, you see people running about with these wings and trying to fly because man was obsessed with trying to fly. And they done a whole lot of things and put themselves at huge risk to be able to fly. Dave, can you switch to the next one, please? Perhaps the most influential brothers in history, Wilbur and Orville Wright's creative and technological genius revolutionized transportation on planet Earth, throwing open the doors for travel, communication and international commerce. The world was reconfigured as a global community. All because of a contraption that flew. They really didn't invent the flying part. Somebody else had invented the glider. But what they really came up with was the motor that would power this. That would take it beyond certain distances. And that's how they revolutionise things. Because you think about it. Your great auntie Mabel, who lives in Australia, you might never have visited her. But when you sent her a Christmas card, if it hadn't been for the Wright brothers and other people like them, it would take 6 weeks to get there by boat. It would take a while anyway. In the 1960s, it took 6 weeks to get there by boat because my auntie emigrated. So they revolutionised things, but how did they revolutionise things? What did they do to bring that change that has affected every single one of us? They took a risk. Only once, I don't know if you know this, only once did Wilbur and Orville fly together on a flight. Because their father had told them, never fly together in case there's an accident. Because one of you has to be able to continue on the work that you have started. But they done it once. And then one of the brothers took the father and they went on a flight and the father kept shouting at the son, higher, higher! Sounds like Bruce Forsyth. But so that was the plan they wanted to. He wanted to fly with them, but he didn't want them to go together. So the Wright brothers are an example of taking risks. And so if you're the type of person that needs to know a name for or a title for today's sermon, I would put it like this. Like, don't play it safe. Take risks. Don't play it safe. Take risks. Hopefully, through what we're going to say this morning, you should hear that at least 6 times. I'm not saying that just for the sake of saying it. I think it's important that we remember that. That we don't play it safe. That we take risks. Can we go to the next one, please? So, as well as you in Northern Ireland having much better grammar than what we do in Scotland, you also have much better spelling. Because faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And when I was preparing these slides through the week, Noah was like, that's not how you spell faith. Faith is spelled F-A-I-T-H. And he genuinely said, Charlene and I were stood there and we just laughed. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Sometimes when you put your faith in something, you're taking a risk. I was with somebody this week who, I say, plays the stock market a wee bit. They play on the DAX, which is the German. We have the FTSE 100, which is the top 100 companies in the UK. And the DAX is the top 30 companies in Germany. And this person plays that a wee bit. But every time they're playing that, they're taking a risk. They're no buying shares in any company. They're no investing in a specific one of those 30 companies. But what they're investing in is saying that, you know, the DAX is going to increase today or it's going to decrease today. And they're banking, if you like, that that's going to go up or that's going to go down. They're taking a risk and they want to see. So sometimes they could be investing an amount at this point and, like, 4 minutes later, selling out again because it has increased by 20 pips. But in that, depending on how many pounds you're putting to each pip, depends on the amount of money that you're making. They're taking a risk every morning between 7 and 9 o'clock. They take a risk every time. I don't know what risks you have to take. But every one of us, at some point in our lives, we have to take risks. We go to the next one, Dave. Sometimes we have to weigh up our risks with a reward. But if you don't take a risk, you don't get a reward. And then we're not really going to focus too much on calculated or uncalculated risks, and I hope that we're wise enough to distinguish between the two of those. Sometimes it's difficult, but we take a risk. Depending on the type of risk we take depends on the type of reward that we get. But risk, reward, risk, reward. We need to take risks to be able to get a reward. And the Bible talks about this. If you have a Bible, if you could turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. So good. The scriptures speak into every situation almost that we will encounter. And it's no different here in this passage. But even the best laid plans don't always work out, and that's a reality that we have to face every day. Because sometimes there are some things that you'll do and it just doesn't happen the way that you expected. So how should we live when we're not sure how things are going to turn out? And essentially, Solomon says this: don't play it safe. Take risks. So, you probably noticed there's a difference between the NIV that I read and the NIV there, because they update it sometimes. So, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Or on there it says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days you may receive a return. Grain is where we get bread, and that's how they decided that they would word it that way. But for us to play it safe, not to play it safe and take risks, we have to be confident in ourselves, in our abilities, but also in the Lord. There has to be confidence somewhere. But we can't just hide and expect life to just cooperate. There are times where we will have to take risks. And don't avoid blessings because of the concerns that come with them. Sometimes we just need to do it. Don't say, I can't get married. What if difficult struggles come up between me and my spouse? If that were the case, none of us would get married. And just in the last couple of years, I've had pleasure of marrying three couples here. And there's representatives, and two of the couples and representative for one other is here. Did you ever sit and think, what if it gets difficult at some point? Nah, we'll just cancel. The love that you have for your spouse, who is now your spouse, supersedes that, doesn't it? But now that you have been married for more than 5 minutes, has it been plain sailing all the time? He lied. Just glad we won't be in his house later. So has it been easy? Has there been times where things have been difficult? Have you ever disagreed? Have you ever disagreed, Jamie? But because you disagree, does that mean, I wish we'd never got married? No. You work it out, don't you? Sometimes working it out takes a whole lot more than some other things, doesn't it? For the other people in the room that are married as well, we get that. Or, do you know, I can't start a business. What if it folds? If we were to think like that, we'd never do anything, would we? What would we be doing? You wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Do you know when there are some people, unfortunately, who do that? Or, I can't join the forces. What happens if I get deployed? That's the point. See, if you don't want to get deployed somewhere, you don't join the forces. And it's sometimes we need to use what's in between our ears a wee bit more, but we something is getting married is a calculated risk, isn't it? Because you're two selfish people that are becoming one. And sometimes, do you know, even when people have lived in each other's back pockets and then they go and get married, changes things, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Does it? Yeah. It does. I can tell by the look on your face that it does. It does. And every single one of us in here that is married will tell you that it's a bit different. Learning to deal with their selfishness just drives me nuts. But they're thinking the exact same thing. I cannot believe he just leaves that toilet seat up all the time. And he does not put the lid on the toothpaste. But that's a risk you were willing to take. God wants us to step out and to take risks. Because we need to. And I believe that he wants us to stop playing it safe. Solomon's going to pass on two insider tips that will help us to take some risks and avoid playing it safe. And in verses 1 and 2, he's going to talk about diversify your investments. So ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. That's a whole lot better than cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you'll find it again. Listen, if I'm throwing bread on the water and it starts coming back, I don't want it back. It's going to be soggy and inedible and just a mess. But that's not what it's talking about, is it? It's not. That's not what it means. Then the updated translation, how they never got it right in the first place is beyond me. But ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. It's talking about investing stuff. And when you ship it away and you sell it or you pass it to somewhere else and they sell it on your behalf, and then comes back and there's going to be a return on your investment. And if you invest in things and you get a return on your investment, you're sitting like, like my friend who is messing in the DAX at the minute, in the morning time, I know because he told me the other day, he was like, yes! Because the amount that he invested on the Friday, by the Monday, he had doubled his money. That's a good return. That's a great return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Listen, you don't know what's going to happen. You might have invested in something before and then the recession hit, but you didn't know the recession was going to hit. And a lot of people invested in stuff, the recession hit, and you might have lost something. But a lot of people did it and made a killing before the recession came. Who's to know what is going to happen? And we need to take risks. Solomon offers us financial counsel. This book is down and dirty, nitty gritty, relevant to our earthly lives. It's just speaking into our situations really, really clearly. And how old is Ecclesiastes? So Jesus roamed the earth approximately 2,000 years ago. And we can safely say that Ecclesiastes is about 1,000 to 1,500 years older than that. So 3,500 years ago, okay, Solomon is telling us stuff then that people are still trying to grasp now. I mean, people were toying for a long time thinking that the world was flat. They only needed to read Isaiah and it would have told them that it's not. There's a lot of wisdom in this, and sometimes we miss it. Quite often we miss it. Solomon lived a life where he was wise. Things didn't end up overly good for him, but in the time when he was writing and when he was living his life at this point, things went well for him. They were great. Since life is so uncertain, spread your financial investments out. Don't just invest in one thing. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Take a risk. That's hard to hear. That's hard to hear. No, even if you're investing in the stock market or investing in things, but just investing in life. The Lord, you think maybe the Lord's telling me to do this. Maybe he is. Listen, it doesn't need to come to you in writing like this. The Lord will speak to you through this. But I believe that God still speaks today, because the scriptures tell us and teach us that he is the same yesterday, today and forever. I believe that God speaks today. And I believe that the majority, if not all you in this room, believe that as well. But some of you just maybe haven't heard that yet. That's all right. Plenty of time. But God does speak today, and he will speak into your situation. But here's what you need. You need to let him. You need to give him the opportunity to speak into your life today. Because if you don't, how's he getting? How's he getting in? Now, he can change all that, and sometimes he does. But take time to listen. Give him the opportunity to speak. So before you do something, before you take that risk, say, oh God. A good prayer, you see, is help. Isn't it? You're laughing because you've done that, haven't you? I've done it loads of times. And he does. He helps. Do you know why? He thinks you're smashing. He loves you so much. He doesn't even want to just sit back and say, nah, I want to see you struggle and squirm. That's not the God I know. He thinks you're brilliant. This is no talking about soggy bread coming back when the tide comes in. It's about an investment coming back on the risk. Solomon was involved in international trade with countless merchants. He took risks, big ones. But then you're like, ah, that's all right for him, John. He was loaded. He was the king. And that's a fair point. But he still took risks. And I think sometimes the only thing that holds us back is ourselves. Because we don't take... God could speak to you really clearly the day and tell you about something that you need to do, and you'll still find a way to explain it away. Oh, and that's just because I had cheese last night. What? Like, you could say anything like that. And take a risk. Take the plunge. It might turn out great. Might not. But how will you ever know if you don't try? Diversify. Take a risk in something maybe you've never done before. You never know, it might work out. It could be fun. Don't play it safe. Take risks. Then, if clouds are full of... Man, we don't need to talk about this. We live in Fermanagh, but it's dry the day. I told you there was a God. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. If we were to go on how things, if we try and read the signs on things, you never do anything. If we were going to focus on the weather and what the weather forecasters say and the doom and gloom that they bring on our TVs on a regular basis, we would never be going for a barbecue this afternoon in Kesh, because it's Fermanagh. Fermanagh is lush and green for a reason. Because it's wet. It's gorgeous, but it's wet. So what we need to do is just adapt and wear better clothes. And take umbrellas. God alone knows the future. Only Him. And we ought to make our plans, use our brains, study the situation, take into all factors, take things into consideration, seek wise counsel to do the best that we can. So when we read the signs, we wear waterproof jackets and sensible shoes or wellies. We read the signs. Read the signs. Think about things. How have things gone so far? Then you're going to take a risk. Don't play it safe. Take the risk. God might just be in. Don't sit in your hands. Don't be reckless. I have to make that clear. Don't be reckless. Because that's the path of certain ruin. But don't sit in your hands either. You get pins and needles for a start. But don't sit in your hands. Do something. Do you know what? It really is okay to try and do something and fail. But it's no alright to just do nothing. Because failure is but a moment. It's a happening. It doesn't define who you are. That doesn't mean you're a failure. It means something you tried failed. And there's a massive difference between the two of them. So taking risks is okay. Dave, can we do the next one? Don't delay your course of action. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off to tomorrow. You know the saying, don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Seize the day. Take the opportunity while it's there. Strike while the iron's hot. There's loads of things we could say on this. Seize the day. Seize the opportunity while it's at hand and take it. Take the bull by the horns. How many more can I think of? I'll stop. But we can't really predict or control the events of our lives completely. We try regular with varying degrees of success. Ecclesiastes talks about this quite a bit. It's great. You should read it. We need to distinguish between the things that we can do something about and the things that we can do nothing about. Because there are just some things that you can't do anything about. And if you didn't know that, that's the stark reality. There are some things you can do nothing about. And we just need to deal with it. We can't stop nature's patterns. Do you know, people have been trying for years to come up with the elixir of life and the whole thing. We all just keep getting older. That's all right, because we know that we're going to a better place. So we don't need to really worry about that. We don't need to concern ourselves with that. Some things we just can't change. Don't waste your time with God's affairs. There's things that's his job, that he deals with that. That's not your job. You do your job, he'll do his job. So whose job is it to build the church? Thankfully, it's no mine and it's no Charlene's. That's his job. That's what he does. He says, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We won't go into what that is, but we can't stop nature's patterns. Let God be God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's his. We talked about that, how we just get to steward it for a wee while. It's his, but he lets us play a bit with things for a wee bit, but it still belongs to him. He can concern himself with his responsibilities, and when we do that, we'll realise all that we have to concern ourselves with. The things that he deals with, we don't need to intervene. Don't play it safe. Take risks. Now, we live in an agricultural society. Run about here, you don't need to go far before you see fields and get stuck behind tractors on the road and get frustrated because it's taking so long. But that's the type of community that we live in. Fermanagh is an agricultural place. And so, people who are so much more wise than me, where it says in verse 4, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. I would hate to be a farmer. I think farmers, what they do is incredible. But how do you get to go on your holidays? I mean, you have huge responsibility. You know, you're up at the crack of dawn and you're working till late. And you just have stuff to do all the time. But if farmers were to sit in their house and look and say, look how windy it is, I'm not going to sow seed today. It's due to lash. Listen, in Fermanagh you'd never do anything, would you? Farmers, some of them they do. They read the signs, but they know. They work in seasons. So by a certain time they do this, by a certain time they do this, by a certain time they do this. That's why you see all the farmers at the same time go and cut their grass. And then they all help each other, and you see all these tractors with their trailers going up and down the street at the same time because they're all working in this time frame. But if they were to base it on just the weather, they wouldn't do anything. If they were to wait for the right moment, they would never do anything. Farming is about risk taking. Does anybody know how much it is to buy a tractor? And they buy a tractor, it costs a lot of money, and it is based on them getting a return on their investment. Because if they didn't have a tractor, they'd be walking along with a couple of bulls with a plough on the back, and it would take a while. They have tractors for a reason. They don't play it safe. All the time, they take risks. It's not a life that I want to pursue. I don't think it would be easy. I don't think it would be stress-free. And if I had a hat on, I'd take it off to them. Because I think what they do is incredible. There's no better time than the present to step out in faith. No better time. Don't put it off to the morrow. Be diligent constantly. But if you wait until, well, you know, John, I don't really have the time to do it, but you'll never do it. John, you don't understand my situation. No, and you don't understand mine. Just do it. Nike got it right. Just do it. Just do it. Take the plunge. The perfect opportunity begins now while you still can. Because you never know, the morrow you might not be able to. Don't put what God has placed on your heart off another day. Don't do it. You know our story. You know Charlene and I's thing and how we came. We've been in Northern Ireland for 8 years. Have to say our life has changed for the better incredibly. We love this place. Do you know, you're going to laugh. But do you know, sometimes you just take things for granted. So like for the last 8 years, I've been like, yeah, we live in Northern Ireland. Great. And Charlene doesn't even know this. The other day I was just driving in the car. And I was like, we live in Northern Ireland. Talk about being slow in the uptake. We've only been here 8 years. But then everything that comes with that all started going through my mind. And I was like, I would never have pictured that we would have lived here. And things, if you do know the story, things happened really, really quickly. From getting the phone call inviting us to move here and 10 weeks later that we did live here. And it's just kind of like caught up in this whirlwind and we live in Northern Ireland. And I'm just like, we really didn't have the time to put it off. It was either do it or don't. If we'd started questioning, oh no, where are we going to live? What are we going to do for work? What are we going to do about the kids? Oh no. And if we had done that, we probably wouldn't have come. But we did. We didn't play it safe. We took a risk. And it was a huge risk. And it seemed to just happen like that. And we and we get caught up in the whole thing. But you'll never have enough money. You'll never have enough energy. You'll never have enough patience. You won't have enough time to spend with your family. And make time. Oh, you don't understand. I have this job. Take a risk, say, do you know what? I need to spend time with my family and spend time with them and leave that. You can go back to that. But you don't want to be at the point when your kids are 5 and then you go back to them and they're 20. And you're thinking, John, come on, don't exaggerate. I'm really not. And you know I'm not exaggerating. Begin pouring your life into your spouse now. Start, if you've never done it, do it now. Start doing that now. Everything you have, pour it into them. Because before you know it, you will be collecting your pension. Things happen quickly. I'm not kidding. Don't put it off. Because the longer you put it off, and then you'll keep putting it off, and you'll keep putting it off, and we're not getting any younger. Don't wait till you've got the spare time, until you've got more money or better health. Even for students, seek to accomplish your dreams now rather than waiting. And don't settle for settled Christianity. Oh. Did you go to church last week? Tick the box. Yeah. Is that it? Is it a box ticking exercise coming to church? Is it getting involved? Is it getting involved with your wider family? Is it helping people that are in need? Is it helping other people who don't yet know Jesus, but if we continue being Jesus, they might just get it? We settle so much for religion and that settled Christianity where, oh, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I want to be a cat in the middle of Trafalgar Square where every pigeon in the world is. I want to be the cat among the pigeons. I want to ruffle feathers. I want to change things. I want to upset the apple cart. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was a revolutionary. He didn't have a gun. But he came and he did things different to what everybody else did. And he got criticized for it regularly. But do you know what? Did he care what other people thought? No. He just did it. And that's what we need to do. Don't play it safe. Take risks. Dave, can we go for the next one? Please. Wow. Charlene hates this picture. That guy's Danny McCaskill. He's brilliant. He's got loads of YouTube videos. If you think that's risky, have a look at some of the stuff he does. He's insane. I like him. He's a wee Scottish guy. But don't play it safe. Take risks. Don't do this at home. Know that.
I'm alright,
can't be my balance. Good man, Sean. Yeah. So, don't do this at home. But don't play it safe. How do you think he learned to do that? He took risks. He practiced, aye. But do you think he ever fell off? Do you think he ever hurt himself? Now, let's be fair. He probably didn't try it the first time on there. I would think he probably went to like a railway track and balanced on the one of the tracks or something of that ilk. Know that. That's nuts. How does he even get up there? But anyway, so don't play it safe. Take risks. And sometimes, do you know, we look at things and because of the way we see it, we're like, I couldn't possibly begin to do this because it will just go pear-shaped. It might not, because God's involved and he wants you to take risks. Solomon took risks and a lot of the time it paid off. We have to trust him who makes and sustains all things. He believes in you. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. But so many of us freeze because we don't know what God wants us to do. God has got incredible plans for you. He has put a purpose in your life. He's placed dreams in your heart. And you just need to go for them. Ask him, God, what was the dream you placed in my heart when I was whatever age? Will you bring it back? I really want to do it. I don't know how to begin to go and do this, but will you help me? Will you teach me how to be more faithful? Will you teach me not to play it safe, to take a risk? I just want to go all out for Jesus. How do I do that? He'll show you. He'll help you. Don't look at what other people are doing. Oh, well, they seem to kind of have it together. You don't know, really, what's happening with them. They might look great and, you know, they might be your friend, but you don't really know. You don't know what's going on in here. You don't know the thought processes they're going through. You don't know the crisis and confidence they had last Tuesday. You don't know that. And they're probably not going to tell you, because if they tell you, they become really vulnerable and then you're not going to think of them the way you already do. What other people think doesn't really matter. It's no your business. You just do what it is that God has called you to do. Don't play it safe. Take risks. We suffer from analysis paralysis. That's what we suffer from. We start to analyse what God has called us to do and it paralyses us. And we panic. You don't need to panic, because he is with you in everything that you do. When you take the risk, he is with you in the risk. Because it isn't just about you. He's there. He's in it with you. When facing a decision in our lives, we want God to tell us exactly what our choices should be. But does God have to tell you what to do? Do you ask him what to do before you do everything else? Sometimes we just need to take the risk, and as we take it, God is with us in it. You just need to go and do what it is that he's called you to do. So verse 6 of the passage says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. Sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Take a chance. Sow your seed. Give of what you're going to give to whatever it is that you're going to do, and just do it. He wants us to have the confidence to just do it and leave the results to him. See, when he's on your side, the results that come from it are so much better than you could have ever imagined. Have confidence in him. Leave the results to him. Will everything work out peachy? Probably not. But if we thought that all the time, you'd do nothing. You'd never do anything. What we need to do is represent God in everything that we do, with all that we have. That's no playing it safe. That's taking a risk. Can we go to the next one, Dave? If you're into Westerns, you'll like this, but John Wayne one time said this: courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Being scared to death and saddling up. Have you ever went to do something and you've absolutely been terrified? Your stomach's been churning and you've got that whole adrenaline thing and you're shaking. And have you had that? Do you like it? Who likes it? You like that whole adrenaline rush and the kind of fear thing? And there's a lot of people who do like that. The majority of people, as you probably do know, don't. But when you have that whole thing and you're scared to death, like, John Wayne's obviously talking about horses. I don't like horses. They're nice to eat, but I don't like horses. A big police horse stood in my foot when I was